the word of hope in is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, hope is a confident assurance that we can, that can be ours when we trust in the words. And here's some words and a promise and a beautiful trust that you can absolutely trust in. He who believes on the name of Jesus has everlasting life. Accepting the gift of eternal life means our hope is no longer filled with doubt, but rather has a beautiful, sure foundation that the hold of God's word, the entirety of God's character, and the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And we can have hope in the goodness of God, having formed every day in our life, every one of them written in his book, all the days of our life before yet one of them was. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in the sermon today. We'll be looking at Psalms 139:16. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Amazing passage. So you make requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Then when God responds, be prepared to accept his wisdom, whether or not you agree with his answer. So we're going to agree with his answer today as we look at Scripture, and we see that in his book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me and for you, when yet there was none of them. What does that mean? We're going to look at that. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. And Father, as we look at this Scripture today, Father, let us see a new understanding, Father, that will create a behavior change in us, Father, that we'll be aware that every day, Father, in great detail has been formed up for us. And Father, that with that forming up of divine purpose, Father, that you have given us those things to do, Father, that are your desires. And Father, I pray that we see that in a way after today that we haven't seen it before, that we can go forth, Father, and do as in heaven on earth as we go about the days, Father, knowing that you are so detailed in them that we can just sit and ask you, Father, what do we do? Let us know, because our desire is to follow you and do the works that you prepared for us beforehand. Father, we love you and thank you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen and amen.
resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King, oh, he's resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Soldiers watch in vain, was buried for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God is from the grave. Our God is from the grave. Yes, yes, because you are.
God, we're so grateful that there's power in your name. God, that our fear gives way to your peace, God, your perfect peace, especially in seasons like this one, God, where what we're supposed to do and what's wise in this situation isn't always abundantly clear. God, but we thank you for the reminder that you give us in the first chapter of John, God, that you are complete truth, God. And that if we want truth, God, if we want wisdom, that all we have to do is just spend more time with you, God, because you give truth and wisdom out of your abundance. God, this morning as we worship you, we're just so grateful that you're sitting on your throne. God, that you are all powerful, God, that you know every single one of our days from start to finish. God, that there's nothing that escapes your hands, God, that even the situation that we're in right now, God, that you see it and you know it, God, that you see us and you know us, that you know what's going to happen and you're existing in the middle of what's already going to happen in the future. And so, God, we just want to set all of our anxiety, God, all of our fear aside. We want to rest in your peace this morning, God, as we worship you. We want to experience the love that you give to us and the grace that you extend to us in the midst of our struggle. God, we want to say that no matter the circumstances of our lives, God, that we will rest in you, that we will see your goodness, God, that we will look for your goodness even when it seems far off. God, that we will look to your character and to what your word says about your character, because we know that your word is infallible, God, and that if it says that you're trustworthy and it says that you're gracious and it says that you're good, that these are things that we can cling to. These are places that we can rest and find hope because you are our refuge. So this morning, I just pray that as we continue to worship you together through music, that our hearts would be able to say that no matter what our circumstances are, God, that your perfect plan is well with our souls. God, you're bigger than any storm in this life, God. And we can trust in the fact that you hold us and you carry us in the midst of it all. So this morning, God, we want to set aside the things that are on our minds, God, and we want to fix our eyes on what you want from us, God, and that's our worship. That's our love, God. We want to give you back out of the abundance that you've given to us, God. Above all else, we glorify your name, God, and we praise you because you are so, so good to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas and are shaken and stirred, can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well.
Beautiful. It is well with our soul. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, in the very first chapter, we get to see Jeremiah's call and commission, how beautiful it is. Starting in verse 4, this is the prophet that's fixing to be called to be the mouthpiece for the Lord. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I wonder if he got that from Moses, because Moses didn't know how to speak either. He said, but I'm young, Lord. And the Lord said to me, do not say that you're a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and that all I command, you shall speak. And I love this. And do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Phrase comes to Abraham, it comes to Moses, it comes to many, and the Lord says, don't be afraid. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, he touched my mouth, said Jeremiah, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow. So I have appointed you over this day, over the nations, and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant. I want to also tell us that the Lord has placed his word in our mouth. And our word is to be delivered to a nation and a world. The gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's our Savior. Amen and amen. a lot of switching back and forth, isn't there? Heather, thank you for bringing us and helping settle our hearts down that we can set in and hear the Word of God. And what I want to talk about today is that God forms all the days of our lives. See, the Old Testament consists of three sections. The first 17 books are the history that had to do with the past. And the last 17 books are the prophetic writings called the wisdom literature. Now, in between, not the called the prophetic writings that have to do with the future. In between the two, we have this section of four writings called the wisdom literatures. And the king of the wisdom books, what I call would be Psalms. These wisdom books in the middle are referred to as the present. In other words, when we enter into the Psalms or to the wisdom books, we enter into what I want to call the now with God. It's happening now. They're referred to as the present before God now section of the Old Testament. We see King David in Psalms 51 pouring out his heart, and as if though we're right there with him as he's doing so. We're let in on his and God's conversation firsthand. I want to look quickly at that. And when we read that, we can even see ourselves fitting into that as though in the present with David now. David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion." He says, "Blot out my stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." He says, "For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. And against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." Can you see the brokenness, the contriteness of David in his heart as he realized his sin and how he's broken the heart of God with what he's done? It's like we're right here with him. And I can even say, yes, I was born a sinner from the moment of my mother conceived me. But Father, you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. And I can say, purify my sins, O Lord. I want to be clean. Wash me. Father, make me whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. What a beautiful passage. Oh, give me back my joy again. Take me back to walking within the Spirit, that joy again. And he says, remove the stain of my guilt. And I love in verse 10 what he says. In that beautiful word, create, that we find in Genesis chapter 1, and out of nothing God creates. So out of nothing, O Lord, create in me a clean heart. Nothing that I have, O God, but only what you have. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. I love this part. Make me willing to obey you, O Lord. Do what you have to do. Father, your ways are right. See the now this brings in. See, we can feel the presence of God in David here as if it's happening right now. So we have here the treasures of wisdom in the section in the middle of the Old Testament that seemingly the present or now. We see this in the now. I want us to look at verse 16 of Psalms 139. Verse 16 of Psalms 139. Here's King David, and King David says, "In your book, O Lord, were written, every one of them." But wait a minute, in what book? In what was written? In what is every one of them? "The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one of them." See, this verse tells us that God has more than one book. Of course, our Bible is God's Word, and His book given to us. We find redemption, and then we live the redeemed life. But God has more than one book. We find another book in Revelation 21:27 referring to the new Jerusalem and the new heaven. "But nothing unclean will ever enter into it, praise God. Nor will anyone who does what is detestable or false, praise God." Well, who gets in? But only those who are written, here we go, in the Lamb's book of life. So if we go back to verse 5 of chapter 3, we see Jesus addressing the church even in Revelation. It says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in the white garments, and I will never blot out his name." Out of what? Out of the book of life. "I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Did you know that your name is going to be confessed before the Father and before the angels, that you are in Him. You've got a great witness. You have a great advocate. You have a great mediator, that one being Christ Jesus. So we have the Bible, our written word. We have the book of life. Now, we can even see other books. But here in Psalms 139:16, we find yet another one. We will call it this, the book of future days. Our proof of this book is here in Psalms 139:16. In your book were written, every one of them, what? The days that were formed for me, yet as there was none of them. The first point I want to make out of this verse is, God has planned our future days in detail. I used to read this verse and just wonder and understand that I would live to a certain date and then I would die and God knows the day this will happen and how it will happen. And that's it. And that is true. He does know that. However, if we look at this verse more closely or closer, I believe it tells us much more than that. It seems to say that God has planned the details of each of our days, including the day leading up to our death. In your book were written, every one of them. Every one of them points to every day, not just the one day that I will die or that you will die. Every one of the days we live, including the one in which we pass on to be with Him. Every one of them written in His book. Your autobiography written and planned out by God. That is amazing. As I like to say to the grandkids, that's awesome. We see elsewhere in the Old Testament about other books written every day of others. There's a record of events often of the kings and the kingdom. Look at 1 Kings 11:41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he worried and how he reigned and how, behold, are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And in 1 Kings 15:23, now the rest of the acts of Asa, all his might and all that he did in the cities that he built, are they not all written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Now that's a little clause you don't want in your passing away. What that was referring to, even the disease of his feet, he wouldn't call upon the Lord for his help to do that. But anyway, that'll be another sermon. I don't want, maybe my tombstone will read, he died of his old age because he was diseased in his feet. I hope not. There's an interesting word here in this verse that we read about. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed. There's an interesting word here in the verse helping us see that God was in the details of our life each day. And I want to look at this. We need to look at this. And it's the verb formed. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, as yet when there was none of them. You see, not only is God planning the details of each day for me, they are formed when there was not one of them. The word formed in the Hebrew is yatsar. And yatsar means to form, means to fashion. It's like in making pottery, making sure it shapes and frames properly so it'll hold what you want it to hold and do what it's supposed to do to function as it is. It's a framing of something with divine purpose and a passion and detail. That's a beautiful word. He formed us. Here's some other places it was used. In Genesis 2:7, it said, Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And then now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The word formed, forming up, fashioning, like making pottery, framing something with divine purpose, beautifully, passionate in detail, so it can function as it's formed according to its master. Psalms 95:5, the sea is his, for he made it. Wow. In his hands formed the dry land. Psalms 94:9. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? And look at this. He who formed the eye, does he not see? Do you know the delicacy in forming up an eye? that God formed your eye? He's in the details of everything about you. He formed out of the dust man. He formed out of the ground the beasts of the fields and the birds of the heavens. His hands formed the dry land, and he formed the eye to see. Each of these verses talk about how God formed in great detail and power and wisdom creatures for his glory and for his and our amazement and wonder. So when it says God formed our days, he, Yatsar, formed them, meaning each day was fashioned and framed with divine purpose, with great passion and power and detail. Let me read this verse again with the meaning now that we understand. For a divine purpose, every detail. In your book, O Lord, were written, every one of them. What was being written? The days that were formed, fashioned, molded, purposed. When they were yet charred, formed in divine wisdom and great detail, when yet there was none of them yet. See, God has used the same wisdom, the same skills, the same omnipotent power in forming your days ahead of time before they occur. This makes Psalms 139, 13, 18 take on a new meaning in our minds now. Look at this. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Why? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it oh so well. Formed for divine purpose. Shaped and molded in detail every day. God saw you before you were born. Every day of your life is recorded in his book. Every moment's laid out before a single day had passed. And there's something about what he makes that he loves. Look at verse 17 and 18 of Psalms 139. It's a beautiful passage. It's all beautiful. It's good. It's God's word. Here's what he thought about you after forming your days. Look at this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They're outnumbered, the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. Go to the beach. Try to count the grains of sand and just a bucket of sand. You can't. Your God loves you beyond measure, beyond your understanding. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. Do you really believe in the heart of your hearts that God truly loves you and that he absolutely has thoughts about you that are so precious that they outnumber the grains of sand? We have a hard time grasping that, don't we? Because what do we look at? We look at ourselves and what we do in our souls and what's happened, don't we? I want you to look at what happened because of Christ when he came, that his righteousness was given to you, and now you stand holy and blameless before the living God of the universe. And he's mediating his love and purpose for you, conforming up every day of your life. I believe this verse says he does, and it gives me great peace and hope, and I hope this gives you great peace as well. Do you believe he has planned the rest of this day and what will happen to you and me in regard to the present pandemic situation of the coronavirus? I do. It didn't get past him. This pandemic didn't get past our all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing sovereign Lord. And he did not forget to weave this day accordingly with the coronavirus in mind as he formed you before you were born. Let's put this in God's perspective. You're here at this time because it's been appointed for you. And the details of your life had been appointed also because God formed them, every one of them, before there was yet one. But what if I get the coronavirus? So what will happen? Maybe I won't get the coronavirus. Maybe I will get it but have no symptoms. Maybe I'll get it and the symptoms will be mild. And then maybe I'll get it and the symptoms will be severe. And God will have farmed all the day to be with him. So maybe I'll get it and the symptoms will be so severe that I will die. And God will have farmed this day for me to be with him. It wouldn't be so bad, would it? I'm not trying to throw caution to the wind here. But just look at what the view of God looks like. He's formed up your days. In the book were written for me, every one of them, the days formed for me, yet when there was not one of them to God has planned our future days in detail. There's something else I want us to look at. I also believe that God's plans for you and me are good. I believe it with all my heart. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to His purpose. All things, in total, all work for good. In the events of our days, God has planned for our good, and as we are called according to His purpose, and His purpose is forever good. There are several verses that I believe are relevant, being that God desires the best for your life and my life. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us and affirms this goodness. Jeremiah was writing to the exiles in Babylon who had been captured and taken there from their homeland, and they were under much stress and disoriented, and they were in great need. And Jeremiah the prophet wrote them and said, from God, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see, God allowed the prophet to look into the future and give His people a hope and an assurance of a future. That word welfare translates into Hebrew as shalom. And we get the word what? Peace from it. It's not just the absence of conflict, but to be in peace in relationship with ourselves, peace with others, and mainly peace with God. That is shalom. A safety and a peace of such provides a life worth living. It's a kind of peace God desires us to have and makes available through union with God, Him, through His Son, Jesus Christ, being delivered by God the Holy Spirit. Shalom. Peace with God. Peace with others. Peace with, how about this? How about peace with self? Wow. We need some rest, don't we? I'm not saying that we are not going to go through difficult times such as now and that all will be easy, because it won't. But God will give us peace, and He will give us assurance, and He will comfort you in your trials. And may our faith increase as we walk with Him through these times. See, God's plans are good. He's planned our future details, having formed them up. His plans are good for us. And another point I want to make is, God's plans for you include a pre-made opportunity to do good for others. That's woven into the process too. We see in Ephesians 2:10, you know I love that verse. In verses 8 and 9, we see where God has saved us by His grace when we believe. And we can't take credit for this because it's from God. We can't even boast about it, as salvation is not a reward for the good that we've done. However, because we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, verse 10 of chapter 2, we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And these are the works that He's prepared beforehand, that He's woven into you with divine purpose, that it's Him doing it through you. It's not to be approved. You're already approved. You're loved by God because I am loved by God. I'm approved because of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not something I've done. It's something He's doing through me with His purpose. I've lined my heart up with His heart. I want His desires to be my desires. Therefore, Lord, tell me what you need me to do the day that you designed before I was even born, that I may walk in them and show the world who you are. That's what we should do. A lot of times we need to sit still and hear that precious whisper of the Holy Spirit that tells us what to do. I talked to a lady earlier, and the Holy Spirit whispered in her ear. And I loved what she said. She said, it had to be God talking to me and telling me this. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been done. And all of a sudden, she heard, I need to go check on my friend. And she's worried about her friend. And she walks over there and finds her friend passed away in the yard. I'm telling you, that was a detail that God wove into her life that she was to do. And she responded and heard the Holy Spirit. And not only that, she acted upon it. Was able to help others in the process. You see, you're God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. It's not willy-nilly, so to speak. He did every one of them, formed us, every day formed up for us in detail, and it's to be good. And there's even things that He's pre-made for us to do that's going to be helping for others. Planned in details, good, pre-made, yet as when there was none of them. You see, plans pre-made are empowered by God the Holy Spirit to be good works for others, showing the love and the glory of God. You might say, well, that's all good, Pastor, but what does that mean? He created me for good works beforehand. You know, it's difficult sometimes, but He does. He creates things beforehand. An example that I know would be Debbie. You know, my wife, she goes to Spain quite a bit. I think she's over there more than she's here, but that's okay. We can communicate back and forth. But I know that she prepares for them every day, every situation, everything they need, and yet they show up, pick up those plans, and have their choices and carry them forward. That's that she plans in the details what they're to do, but they still have choice in what they do. This is something like God preparing works for us beforehand. I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me when all of a sudden I go make a phone call to someone, and that person on the other end of the phone says what? I was just thinking of calling you. It's part of that process. Talked earlier today to a gentleman on the phone, true gentleman, true lover of Christ, true spirit-filled man. He was so excited as I was going through this sermon. It's just God affirming me that what I'm teaching from His Word is so true. He was so excited on the phone. He had called a friend in California, and the friend was explaining to him what was going on, and that a neighbor came over to his house and said, I need to know something about God. Tell me about God. And his neighbor told him about Jesus Christ, and he was one to the Lord, and 2 days later, he passed away. We're talking about last week. Lord, thank you for the coronavirus that it instilled within this man a need to find safety and comfort, and he found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, before the man passed away, the kids came back to the house where this other man was talking. This man, I know, I'm trying to keep him saying the guy's name. Well, Craig, I'll just say that, Craig was talking to. And then the other guy, the kids showed up and said, what's happened to our father? He is completely changed. The Word of God changed him. And then that word spread on to other family members, and others were saved. The Holy Spirit was working on the day that was planned for Craig and his friend and the other friend. It's all planned in detail. It's not a happening, just happening. It's planned in detail. God has woven all the details in your life. He shaped you as a potter does in the way to sustain what He needs you to do. And He's planned for you, and He's woven it into you in divine purpose every day of your life. Sometimes you might be praying for someone and hope to meet with them, and lo and behold, you bump into them in the grocery store, and you're able to talk to them about the Lord. A lot of times events like this happen in our lives, and I think we should keep this verse in mind. He created us for good works, which were created beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has our future days written in His book, and His plans for us are good. And not only are they good, but they also include pre-made opportunities for us to do good with others. I want to invite us to be mindful and watch for opportunities that He has pre-made for us to walk in, guided by the Holy Spirit, even this day. What does that look like? Being kind to someone, being generous, helping to calm someone's fears, praying for someone, or make a phone call to someone who needs attention or has some concerns, as you're led by God the Holy Spirit to do so. See, God the Holy Spirit is a person that lives with you, indwells you. He's your comfort, your guide. He's your source of truth. He's the one you walk by. I either walk by the Spirit or I walk by the flesh. There is no in between. And walking by the Spirit is being guided by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit came to complete the work of the Father and the Son that they had done. And now He is sanctifying us because He has sealed us. And now He's helping us see the things that God has detailed for us to do because He formed every day of our life in such great detail. Wow. He planned for me to be right here, right at this time, right at that point, where there's two little periods right there, within this deal, right now, right here. He didn't miss a nanosecond. Is it a nanosecond? He didn't miss a nano. He didn't miss a second, a banana second of it, whatever. He didn't miss any of it. These are the works that God has prepared beforehand. I know what someone are thinking sometimes as I go over the pre-made or pre-planned days of live sermon. As yet, there was not one of them. And this reasoning begs the question, and it does as such. If it is true that God has formed and written in His book the future details of all my days, then how in the world can my choices make any difference? Good question. My first response to that question is this, that no one in the history of the world has figured out the answer to that. Not even me. And I think I have to know everything. You know what? I don't know nothing. Well, yeah, I do. I know I'm saved. Lord loves me. Okay. We also know that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign, meaning He's all-knowing, absolute, supreme in all ways, over the world and over our lives. This verse teaches us that in your book were written every one of them, the days of our life were formed, when yet there was none of them. But hundreds of verses in the Bible teach us our choices matter. We have the choice to believe or not to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. You think that doesn't matter? I think it does. We have the choice to follow the spirit or the flesh. And it goes on and on. Our choices matter. Our choices reflect the way events in our lives and events in the lives of others turn out. King David himself considered or confronted this thought earlier in Psalms 139, verse 6. In the beginning verses of chapter 1, David says, "You, Lord, you know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways." And he finally gets to the point where he says in verse 4, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." How can that be? How can David, or you, or I, choose what words to speak when God already knows the words you are going to speak ahead of time? How can this be? So I thought about that a little bit, and I thought, you know, that's simple to understand. My wife, Debbie, knows what I'm going to say many times before I say it. I start and she can finish my words, and I choose to speak them. And I choose to speak what she wants me to do. But I think rather than have my marriage solve this, we best look at Scripture. I think David gives us the answer in verse 6. David says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's just too high. I can't attain it." In other words, God hasn't given us the answer, yet God in His sovereign over matters. And yes, we have a choice that matters as both are taught in Scripture. You see, it's not difficult for God to understand it. It's difficult for us as we do not know the mind of God. So it's yes, yes, we choose yes, and He knows what we will choose yes. We must rely on them fully and completely as this is taught in God's Word. You can't eliminate one and make the other work because you've just eliminated Scripture. Don't do that. Here's some good advice I got from Dr. Grudem, one of the professors at seminary that I have the honor of being around. That guy's forgot more than I'll ever know. Some good advice I got from Dr. Grudem. He says, when you can't figure out things and how they fit together, and in the Bible they don't seem clear, ultimately, it's just a good practice to obey what you do know what is clear. That makes a lot of sense. And look, and here's what's clear. If you make a choice to obey God and trust in Him, you will discover He has planned blessings for you as you walk with Him. However, if you make choices to disobey and not trust God, then you're going to discover a plan. He's planned a difficult path for you to walk in, to help you, but He's wanting you to walk in to get back on the right path. He has planned a difficult path for you to walk in to get you back on the right path. I think something of the solution comes in the fact that God has, in His plans, He's taken into account the choices we're going to make. And that's about as far as I can go with this in the interpretation. But there's some good advice. An old hymn titled "Trust and Obey." It says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know what comes to mind too about choices and God's planning and His working and forming in our choices? It reminds me too, because every once in a while when you get into a recipe book, you've got all the recipes that are set there. And if you've ever gone to a cooking class, if you're worried about making this great dish that they're supposed to make, well, the chef has already prepared everything in detail with a certain amount of everything you need in little cups all around. So all you do is go pick up the cups and throw them in there, and all of a sudden you make a masterpiece. That's kind of the way God works with choice, with Him preparing for us too. He's prepared the main course. We come along and He understands our choice, and He sees our choice with what He's doing, and He makes everything work for the perfectness of who He is. It's though His desires come down to earth and come back to Him completely, perfectly, as He desired. Because He takes human choice and the things that are there and makes everything work for the good for all those that believe. God's in the details. So kind of to summarize, in Psalms 139, it teaches us that God has formed every one of them, the days of our lives, planned in detail, including this one. And again, this should give us great peace in our hearts. God's plans are good, so be at peace, shalom, with one another, with yourself, with God, in all relationships. You see, God's plan also for you includes pre-made opportunities for you to do those things He has desired for you to do before the foundation of the world. And it shows His divine glory and His power as you help others in this life, encouraging them, praying for them, teaching them, discipling them, offering them the gift of eternal life, the beautiful gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for you and for me, yet as when there was none of them. I want us to dwell on this today. Talk to God and ask Him what He's planned for you to follow Him today. He's in the details. He has formed every one of them for you. Sit and talk with Him. Ask Him, Lord, what have You planned for me today? What details? Holy Spirit, guide me through this in a way that I can honor and glorify You. Maybe today it was just to sit with Him. Maybe this was a day He designed for you just to sit with Him, so He could tell you how much He loves you and how much you love Him. I think that'd be good enough, don't you? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the details. Father, thank You that we weren't just placed here trying to figure out what's going on. Father, thank You for coming down. Thank You, Father, for coming down and showing us who You were in the incarnation, Father, of Christ our Savior. Father, the beautiful revelation of who You are, the great I Am, showed up in the flesh. Father, thank You for designing in detail. Thank You for placing us in Your Son to do these things that You have prepared for us to do before the foundation of the world. Thank You that You formed up our eye. Thank You that You formed up the ear. Father, thank You for forming everything up about us. But Father, may we really truly understand now what we're formed for, and that's for Your purpose and for Your way, that we may, Father, show everyone the beautiful preciousness of who You are as we walk and live a life for You. May we speak the truth in love. May we walk worthy. Oh, Father, may we be aware, Father, that every day has been planned. And, Father, it's been planned to honor and glorify You. We love You and thank You. For it's in the precious name of my Lord and Savior I pray, Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.